This is Wild About Utah.
In 1962, Rachel Carson rocked the bird-watching world with her book Silent Spring. She identified the commonly used pesticide DDT as the culprit responsible for declining populations of eagles, falcons, and hawks. Rachel was able to prove that once DDT got into the food chain, it fatally weakened the eggshells of these birds. DDT was banned the following year. Would the raptor populations be able to respond? The answer to this question was spearheaded by Hawkwatch International. They recruited volunteers to camp out near Mendon Peak, which overlooks a major flyway for migrating birds in the fall. Armed with pencils and paper, these volunteers checked off each raptor that flew by. It was a tough camp because once the snow melts, any water on top had to be carried up there. Sometimes my family and others would hike up and give them oranges. Every year, the news got better. The raptor populations were rebounding. In 1999, they were officially taken off the endangered species list. At this time, for most people in Utah, getting a close look at a raptor required a trip to the Hogle Zoo to see the bird show. COVID shut down these shows, but luckily, a young volunteer at the zoo, Nick Morris, stepped up, got the licensing needed to own raptors, and created a traveling show called Long Wing. When I was able to meet Nick on his home turf, he told me that in Shakespeare's time, most every man owned some kind of raptor. The kings owned eagles. The nobility owned falcons. It was no accident that talk of falcons worked its way into the spoken language. For example, falconers kept ankle bands on the birds' legs attached to short, sturdy strings. Before flying their birds, falconers held these strings in a tight fist with their thumbs pressing down hard. This is why we now say, keep things under our thumb. Falcons were always easier to handle while being transported with a hood slipped over their heads. This led to our saying today that when someone does not see something clearly, he is hoodwinked. Morning chores were underway when I showed up at Nick's house. He carried each bird out into the driveway and put a piece of quail on a sawhorse. The bird was happy to hop over and eat it. Nick then put a piece of quail down the driveway on top of his fence. This was a chance for the bird to spread his wings and fly to the treat. Everything was going to plan until one bird took off and settled on the roof of the house. There were a few tense minutes. Nick admitted to me that he had once had to chase a runaway bird all the way to Evanston. Shakespeare captures a moment like this when Juliet is on her balcony and Romeo has walked away. Juliet says, "Oh, for a falconer's voice to lure this tassel gentle back again." Once we know that in Shakespeare's time, tassel was the word for a male falcon, we can see that Juliet is seeing Romeo as a noble and beautiful creature. Juliet sees herself as the falconer, hoping that Romeo will return and possibly be tamed by her. Just as Romeo ran back to Juliet, Nick's bird came down from the roof. Nick explained how falcons are not pets in the traditional sense. Falconry is an ancient sport going back thousands of years. In Shakespeare's time, it was a way of putting food on the dinner table. This is Mary Hears, and I'm Wild About Utah.